Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Tomorrow, Neil Riddell on the show. Today, Dan Duggan, NJ.com. And Chris Soleri, Detroit Free Press. After a series of harassing text messages, I have informed the suit that I will be sending him his program from the Rose Bowl. And I also did inform the authorities, and a cease and desist order has begun out. I know you're surprised by that.
Well, you had to wait a few extra days till you could finally make it back to your place and stamp it and mail it. Not like you had time to go to the L.A. post office before catching your flight to Detroit.
No. And do you want to know what time I got back today?
Well, I know you were guesstimating. You were thinking like probably like 1 o'clock this morning, so no?
3:30. Reason being, we get over to the airport, Willow Run at Ypsilanti, and they have to de-ice the plane. And I will freely admit that I'm all in favor of that. I'm in favor of de-icing planes when I'm on them. Well, we go over to the area where the de-ice truck is. They can't get the truck started. They try, they work. Can't get it done. Okay. So after about 45 minutes or so, we then take about 10, 15 minutes to taxi back to the, calling it the terminal area, because this is not a commercial airport. But we taxi back to, I guess, essentially the terminal area. And they have a second truck. And the second truck's out there in front, and they're warming it up. They're warming it up, and evidently it's not getting hot enough to use on yonder jet. Okay. Finally, this third truck shows up, and I said to Jeff Tarman, I said there was never any talk about a third truck. I said, why do I get a feeling that this one drove over from Detroit? Because now this process started at 11:45 at night. It's now 1:50 in the morning. And, you know, they're spraying the plane down, and that's great. I mean, that's fine. I mean, and nobody, there isn't a single person that complained about anything. There isn't a single person, you know, I mean, most of the players are tired. They're trying to sleep. Everybody else, you know, Pat Chambers was up watching the video on his laptop. A couple of other coaches were breaking it down as well, but the players in the back, staff, so forth. I mean, nobody said a word; just patiently waited. And finally, they spray this thing down, and then we get going. But again, we did not get back until 3:30 this morning, which worked out perfectly because I had a 1-hour interview this morning that's going to be for a DVD we're putting out. With James Franklin, and you know, I had to be there at 8:15, so I am just chipper. great to have you with us today. Tomorrow, by the way, Neil Riddell, my brother tomorrow. Now, has the suit been bragging around the facility about his third consecutive bowl championship?
He has to me, yes. But he is still beating himself up for that Arkansas State game. And I'm like, let it go. You've got the belt for another year.
He's a sore winner, man.
Oh, jeez.
He's just one of those guys. Just, I mean, when he wins, you're like, okay. And then he'll bring up, well, I should have done this. I should have done that. Well, guess what? Okay, I didn't win. There's a whole bunch of I should have.
Arkansas State. Oh, my God. For the last 3 weeks, if I had a dollar for every time he's brought it up, could have bought you dinner last night.
Oh, my goodness. So, tomorrow's shows will be from Philadelphia. Last night's game, I'll just break it down very quickly for everyone in simple terms because I'm a simple guy. Penn State, it is obvious in watching it, and it doesn't take much when you watch them. Penn State now has the talent. Last night, Penn State played with great effort, so they've got the effort. All right, they didn't win the game. They lost by three. What don't they have? What's missing? And what's missing is the most curable part, and that is experience. Last night could have put them maybe a month ahead of schedule by winning. Still not there yet. It is no coincidence to me that the two seniors, Zach Irvin and Derek Walton, combined for 28 points. You know how many points last night, Sean, that the Penn State seniors combined for? You can take a wild guess.
Ten.
Zero. And the reason is Penn State doesn't have any seniors.
Trick question. I should have known that, though. I tuned in last night at 52:38, and I think, boy, they may have this in the bag.
Well, they get to the under 12 to the under 8 area.
Yeah, it was about 12 to go. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's where, you know, Dick and I always talk about that being the pivotal time of the game. That's the you know, are you going to have a game down to the wire, or you can put the game away right there? And they made a run at them. Penn State couldn't hit any shots. But what really hurt Penn State last night, live ball turnovers. LBTs kill you every single time. They just kill you every time. And I think that Penn State turned it over 14 times last night. And of those 14, Michigan was able to get 20 points off of turnovers. Michigan, which is a low turnover team anyway, they only average about maybe a little bit more than 9 per game. Michigan only turned it over 4 times last night. And that ends up to me being the difference in the game. And those live ball turnovers fuel runs. They fuel excitement when you're in your home building. And they change momentum. And Penn State last night had too many live ball turnovers. It got Michigan back into the game. It got energy back in the building. And that was the difference in the game last night. That's where experience comes into play. Experience allows you to reduce the number of live ball turnovers in a game and allows you to be more productive. Penn State, the athleticism is there. In fact, I'll tell you right now, they're a more athletic team than Michigan is. The energy is there, the effort, No question. They left it all out there last night. But they did not show the experience needed last night to close out a game like that on the road. And that's the difference right now for them. They've got Michigan State coming up on Saturday at the Palestra. This is going to be a very emotional game for them because of the six players from Philadelphia. It's going to be sold out. It's going to be a wild atmosphere. It is a venue that so many of these guys are used to playing. Remember, Lamar Stevens, Tony Carr, and Nazir Bostic just played postseason games in the Palestra. Sold out, I might add. I believe they played, I want to say they played Newman Garetti in the Palestra, which was sold out. So I'm looking at this and I'm seeing a lot. They're going to fit, and Michigan State's playing really well right now. They've now won four in a row. Miles Bridges, lottery pick in the NBA, returned to the lineup last night. He has missed seven games this year. And he looked really good last night. He looked really, really good. And, of course, Ward, the other freshman. Point guard's a freshman. You know, runs a pretty good show. Does turn the ball over maybe a little bit too much for Tom Izzo's liking. We'll talk about this with Chris Soleri coming up. We've got Dan Duggan, NJ.com. We'll talk about the playoffs. Weather is going to play a role in the playoffs this weekend. Now, obviously, there's no weather role in Houston. I mean, I know the temperature is going to be in the 40s and drop down to the 30s, but they're in a dome. Who cares? It's only going to affect tailgating. But in Seattle, they're talking about Saturday night, temperatures initially in the 30s, and dropping down into the 20s with a little bit of precipitation on Saturday night. In Pittsburgh, the temperature is expected to be 19 degrees Sunday. The wind chill with 8 to 16 mile per hour winds is expected to be 4 or 5. The temperature in Green Bay Sunday for the Giants game against the Packers is expected to be between 4 and 10. And remember, that will lapse into the evening because it'll be a 3:40 start in Wisconsin.
And we will have every NFL playoff game here on News Radio 1070, WKOK, and of course, Super Bowl 51. We're excited.
Yeah, we are excited about that. It's great to get the playoffs on board.
And of course, as long as the Steelers are alive, they'll keep on keeping on over on 100.9 The Valley. It's at 11 o'clock airtime on Sunday morning and 105 kick.
Right. That is what is coming up. That is what's coming up. We'll have the NFL playoffs and the Super Bowl for you here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Chris Soleri, NJ.com. We'll talk about the Giants and the NFL playoffs. They'll take on the Packers. That is the marquee game of the weekend. And then Chris Soleri from the Detroit Free Press. We'll talk about the Palestra, Michigan State, Penn State as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
I think everyone knows that Garrett Sickles announced yesterday he will enter the NFL draft. Best of luck to him. Penn State has some depth at that defensive end spot between Shane Simmons and Shaka Tony now moving up into that rotation. So there is depth at that spot. You don't have the experience that Sickles brings to the table. And Sickles in several games this year was a difference maker. Most particularly, obviously, in the second half of that Ohio State game. He made some huge plays down the stretch with Evan Schwann in that game. And Sickles turned in a fine redshirt junior year, academically a senior redshirt junior year. And he will enter the NFL draft. But it is a position where Penn State has some other people that can step up. Shaka Tony, Shane Simmons, they both are very strong candidates to move into that defensive line rotation for Penn State. Penn State's going to have four early entries coming in this weekend. Can't get into it only because they have to actually take a class on campus. Once they take a class on campus, I can talk about the early entries as if they're part of the program. That's what I'm allowed. It's kind of like that line crossing. But there are going to be four of them coming in this weekend for Penn State. And four guys, I think, four of them who can be, I mean, they all have the potential to be, I don't know, maybe a couple, I think, can be immediate. A couple more are going to be contributors, you know, down the road. It's going to be, so four very intriguing guys coming in. But that is a topic that can be discussed next week. See, the Redskins fired their defensive coordinator. Certainly couldn't have been Jay Gruden's fault. It can't be the offense. I don't know. It is a rough business out there.
I'm concerned with Bill O'Brien. Granted, they got Connor Cook in at quarterback for Oakland, but...
No, I'm not concerned about Bill O'Brien.
I'm just wondering if Oakland, you know, if there's like another 30-0 playoff loss like they've done, you know, they've had to deal with in the past, could OB be in jeopardy?
The McNairs have been very patient with coaches over the years. So if it was one owner, say it were Daniel Snyder owning the Texans, yes, I would be concerned. But because the McNairs own the team, no, I'm not. I did love the fact, though, that Jim Caldwell, that the Lions announced yesterday that we're going to bring him back. I would hope so. He's coaching a playoff game for you on Saturday night. Who's running that show? I think we'll bring him back. He's coaching the playoff game for you, correct? I want to make sure I've got this right. Crazy, crazy times. Dan Duggan, NJ.com, next half hour. As we talk about the NFL playoffs here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
So I asked the suit, have you seen any good movies lately? Oh, he says, you should have seen what I saw Wednesday afternoon. I said, isn't that when you're supposed to be at work?
Time now for This Day in Sports History. 1920, the Yankees purchased Babe Ruth from the Red Sox for $125,000. The money was used to finance No-No Nanette. Are you kidding me? All right. 1927, a three-day public hearing began on charges that four Major League Baseball games between Chicago and Detroit on September 2nd and 3rd in 1917 had been thrown. 1983, Wayne Gretzky scored his 100th point of the season, 100 points in 42 games. 1931, Lucille Thomas became the first woman to buy a professional baseball team. She bought the Topeka franchise of the Western League. 1934, the National and American Leagues decided to start using a uniform-sized baseball. It was the first time in 33 years that both leagues decided to use the same size ball. Can't even conceive of that. And in 1993, Mike Ditka, the Bears, fired him. 1993. By the way, we're going to start a new feature on our show. Did you know about that?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. The suit's going to review movies I saw this week. Hang on. Plural. I don't see how this fits in with selling digital media. I just
Well, once football season's over, we will have an open spot Friday at 4:35 in lieu of picks. So if you're looking that far ahead or not.
Well, no, he's staying on. So.
Oh, great.
No, he's staying on. They were going to make that a permanent spot.
Love it.
And but I'm looking at, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he'll blur it out. He says, did you see the new Denzel movie? What? I said, did you see Rogue One? What? Can't wait to see the Wahlberg thing. I save so much money on matinees. What does that mean? All right. Let's bring in Dan Duggan from NJ.com. The Giants and the Packers, that'll be the marquee playoff game of the weekend coming up Sunday afternoon at 4:40 Eastern time. Dan, they played the Redskins at the end. And not only that, but they played all out. There was no, hey, let's pull Eli Manning, let's go with some backups, let's use some backup players, let's pull Odell Beckham. I mean, none of that. They played, and they beat them. Played well, and they beat them. And we all know what, years ago Tom Coughlin did this with the Patriots in that last game of the season and so forth. How important, though, was it that they played it this way to stay sharp?
Yeah, and I mean, I think obviously that was a different dynamic because I think, again, like I said, I wasn't here, but I feel like a lot of that was Coughlin just felt he had a duty, team's 15-0, you can't just really roll over for him. And obviously, right. Hindsight being 2020, it worked out because then they got the Super Bowl and said, hey, we can play with these guys. Maybe if they had, rolled over in that game, you wouldn't have had the same confidence. But I think McAdoo, I mean, he's pretty much, he's very strong in his convictions, and he wanted them to play that game, and to him, it was almost, he didn't understand the questions, like, why would you not play, 16 games on the schedule, you're going to play all 16. I mean, he did pull Odell Beckham Jr. midway through the third quarter. That was kind of the one concession he made, and I think really that, honestly, he won't admit this, I think it had more to do with things were getting a little heated with Josh Norman again, and so really just no need to go down that route in the game that, of course, again, at the end of the day, it didn't mean anything as far as, where the Giants were this weekend, so, but other than that, yeah, I mean, he's kind of been the same way all year where he just, he wants to compete, and the players certainly bought in, and like I said, obviously, it worked out for him, so I can't knock the decision now, I guess.
Dan, are you surprised at the pressure they've been able to get on some quarterbacks with JPP out?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing they did against the Redskins was they blitzed a lot because they really aren't getting anywhere near, the production they're getting from JPP, which is what you expect. I mean, he's a Pro Bowl type guy, and they're really just sticking in some, undrafted free agents or young guys there. That Romeo Okwara had a good game in his first out against the Cowboys, but really hasn't done much since then. And again, that's sort of what you expect when you're talking about undrafted rookies, being thrown in like that. But Olivier Vernon's had a good second half of the season. He's kind of a key guy up front. But other than that, they don't have a lot of pass rush up front. So it really comes down to being aggressive with the blitzing. I mean, they had four sacks last week and three of them by defensive backs. So that kind of tells you, where the pressure was coming from. The problem, when you kind of spin it forward, is Aaron Rodgers is probably the last guy in the NFL you want to blitz. Because, I mean, you know, even that Eagles game, Carson Wentz gave him some trouble as far as getting out of the pocket. And obviously Rodgers is a million times better than Wentz is, you know, throwing once he gets out of the pocket and extending plays. So that's where they're going to have a big challenge this weekend. I think that, you know, I think they have to just kind of hope that maybe someone up front can break through and, you know, have a career game or something, because I just don't think this is the team you want to bring the house against, because, you know, Rodgers will pick you apart all day, I think, if you do that.
Yeah, his movement in the pocket, the way he slides, he has a great feel for it.
Incredible.
Yeah, do you feel like Eli Manning's pocket feel has been different this year or maybe the last 2 years?
I mean, obviously he's never been quite as mobile and athletic as a guy like Rodgers. I think there's been times this year where he's actually done a pretty nice job of kind of just navigating the pocket. Again, he's not a guy who's going to, you know, sprint out to the left and throw a 50-yard ball like Rodgers does. But, you know, he climbs the pocket sometimes or avoids pressure. But I think there have been other times where he's kind of heard some footsteps, either because they're really coming or because, you know, you just kind of get that feeling because his protection, particularly on the blind side, hasn't been great. So, you know, how good a quarterback you are, how tough a quarterback you are, you're going to get a little skittish when you feel like someone's going to be coming to put a helmet on your back, you know, every time you drop back. And that was a big problem, really, when they played the Packers the first time. Left back Larry Flowers had a really rough game. And, again, I think that's definitely, you know, Eli's only human. That has definitely seeped into his probably his mental clock has sped up a bit this season. But I think, you know, there's been definitely times where, you know, he has moved around the pocket pretty well. So, you know, it's definitely not his strength. You know, he wants to just be able to, you know, drop back, find the spot, and you know, get the ball out on time. But sometimes it doesn't work out that way.
Right, exactly. I want to ask you about Landon Collins. Obviously, experience makes a difference, but what has he done combined with experience that's now allowed him to become a better safety in this group?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of factors. I think, like you said, you really can't discount experience. I mean, he was thrown into the fire, you know, as a rookie last year, you know, a position like that where when you make mistakes, they're going to be magnified too. You know, maybe, like I said, a defensive end, you don't even probably notice him. He's not doing his job. When a safety screws up, it's pretty obvious, you know, everybody watching. So I think that is just part of it. He's much more comfortable, much more confident. And obviously he's playing around better players. I mean, he was with a real ragtag group of guys in that secondary last year, especially, you know, his partner at safety was like a revolving door of guys who aren't even in the league anymore. So there's been a little more stability back there. I think that obviously helps. But I think the biggest thing is that he is just playing, you know, more confidently. You know, he says he admits he really didn't know the system as well as he needed to last year, which, you know, it's understandable. So he has a much better handle on what he has to do. And I think, you know, Spags has done a really good job of, you know, playing to his strengths, which Collins is still not a guy who's, you know, a great cover guy. His best asset is, you know, coming downhill, you know, making plays, whether it be in the run game, the pass game, in front of him. And they really let him do that this year. And obviously you've seen the results.
Yeah, no question about that. When you go into this matchup with Green Bay, obviously Green Bay's secondary has really struggled at times just because we've had guys hurt. Is that the area you think the Giants can exploit?
I mean, I think it's what they kind of have to if they're going to win the game, because, you know, that's their recipe to put up points. But it's kind of, you know, it's one of these things that sound like a coach where it's kind of complimentary football, because Green Bay's secondary is banged up the first meeting, and the Giants couldn't really do anything through the air because the Packers just sat back in a two-deep zone and, you know, really tried to keep everything with Odell Beckham in front of them. You know, they didn't make any big plays, and I'm sure that'll be the plan again. It'd be crazy if it isn't. But that problem in the first matchup was the Giants couldn't run the ball at all. So, I mean, that's how you have to stack a team that's going to play that style. And the Giants, you know, I think they averaged 2.5 yards a carry or something like that. So, obviously, the Packers were able to just stay in that soft coverage all game and really just, you know, stymie the Giants offense. But Giants offense showing a little more life in the run game lately. You know, Paul Perkins, the rookie, is a big part of that. So I think that's really the recipe. They need to establish the run, make the Packers respect it a little bit, and then that's when you can start to attack that secondary. Because, you know, even if the secondary isn't a bunch of Pro Bowlers, if they're playing a soft cover two with plenty of help over the top, I mean, you know, you can cover guys. I mean, obviously Odell still might make a play here or there, but they're going to do everything they can to limit him. So you need to make them pay, you know, on the ground, I think, first and foremost.
You mentioned Odell Beckham in that, and obviously people know that, you know, he went down, I guess, to Florida for a day or whatever it was. Everything gets covered nowadays. In reality, is it a big deal? I mean, because you're around it, so is it a big deal?
I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think it's a no deal either. I think, you know,
okay,
it's more about the optics. Like, I mean, the fact that they went down to Miami and had some fun. I mean, listen, these are young guys. they have means. It's not like they're waiting at Newark Airport behind security. I'm sure they got in the private jet. You know, they got to Miami as fast as, you know, I could probably get to Manhattan. So it's just the fact that they were in a different, because if they could have gone to the next for New York City till 6 a.m., I don't even know if people would have batted an eye. It's just kind of the visual of them, you know, in a club with Justin Bieber. Obviously, that's going to make things go a little more viral. And being on a boat, something about it just looked a little bad. But, I mean, you know, Ben McAdoo's stance has been, hey, it's their off day. And I think that's, I mean, even if he has a problem with it, he's not going to tell us. That would, you know, that'd be a quick way to lose the locker room to start blasting what your players do on their off day. But, you know, as far as we know, they didn't do anything to, you know, get in trouble. So, I mean, again, if they just went down and had some good, clean fun and were back and on time on Tuesday morning, you know, I think that that's fine. At the same time, if they come out and Odell, you know, has a rough game or Victor Cruz drops a big pass, they have to be prepared for the repercussions. I mean, Tony Romo still hears about that trip to Cabo, you know, 10 years ago.
Right.
So I just think, you know, if I'm Ben McAdoo, a guy who basically lives, breathes, sleeps football, I wouldn't be as thrilled with the fact that my receivers are, you know, kind of off on a partying venture the week of a playoff game. But again, it's, you know, these young guys, you know, probably got a little sleep Monday night and they're good to go. So I don't think it's a huge deal, but again, it's not something they'll be able to avoid if they do lose.
Dan, you've been around great teams before. You've been around good teams and mediocre teams, too. How tricky is it on the pro level for a coach to coach, but also make sure that they've got the locker room the way they need it?
Oh, I think it's probably the hardest thing. I mean, none of these guys get these jobs if they don't have the X's and O's part. I mean, again, you're just, at some point you're going to get exposed as you climb the ladder. So all these guys are pretty brilliant at what they do X's and O's wise. But I think the thing that really separates them is just how they manage the personalities. And obviously, there's a lot of things going into that too, just managing the roster. I mean, that's like, you know, something a guy like Belichick seems to do so well. But from McAdoo, he's admitted it's like, you know, you're an offensive coordinator. You kind of deal with the offense. You deal with a lot of the X's and O's stuff. You become the head coach, and Nicole, he said, you know, three dumpster fires come across your desk every day. And listen, we're trying to always find out what those are, but we probably don't hear about half the stuff that goes on within these walls. I mean, that's just kind of a fact of life when you got, you know, 75 men and all young and competitive and come from different backgrounds. There's going to be a lot of stuff that goes on. And I think it's a fine line, and you want to enforce discipline, but if you go too far, you're going to have, like, you know, Greg Schiano and the players are kind of revolted. It's not easy. That's where I think these guys really earn the money. Because, like I said, the X's and O's is easy to these guys in a way, I think. It's really mastering, you know, kind of controlling the locker room and having the players buy in. And I think that's something that McAdoo's done, probably the most impressive thing he's done, really, especially for a guy who, you know, had never been a head coach. These players have fully bought in, and obviously you see the results. I mean, you can't argue with that.
How wide open are the playoffs? Are they wide open, or do you really think that the favorites are the favorites for a reason?
I think in the AFC, it's hard for me to see anybody beating the Patriots. I think maybe if Derek Carr stayed healthy, maybe you gave the Raiders a shot. Obviously, the Steelers, I think, is probably the one team that can really challenge you know, the Patriots in the AFC. NFC, I think, is really wide open. I don't think the Lions really have a shot, but you can look at the other five teams, and you could definitely make a case for any of them. You know, I mean, again, with the Cowboys, they're still rookies there, so you don't know. I mean, they showed a few cracks in the foundation there in that Giants game late in the season. So I don't think anyone's going to be afraid going down there. You know, Seattle, you know, a couple home games, they're always tough up there. Atlanta's a team I think everyone's sleeping on. And then I think the winner of this Packers-Giants game is one of those kind of dark horse teams where nobody's really going to want to play them. You're not going to play Aaron Rodgers if he's, you know, still rolling after a win this weekend, or if the Giants manage to shut Aaron Rodgers down, no one's going to see that defense. So I really think the AFC is probably going to be the Patriots, but NFC, yeah, like I said, you can make a case for pretty much any of the five teams. I'm going to leave the Lions out of it.
The Giants' margin of error, I mentioned the last time I had you on, we talked about, hey, look, they lost a lot of tight games last year. They win a lot of tight games this year. At playoff time, and I've kind of felt this way about Kansas City too, is that margin of error for the Giants really tricky, where you feel like you're always, you know, you can win it that way, but you're also one big play away from losing it?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. That's like I said, that's the line they've walked kind of all year. At some point, though, you know, the fact that they've won so many more of those than they lost has to give you confidence. I mean, that's one thing that I think this team has really started to believe they're going to find a way to win, because there's been so many times where the other teams had the ball late with a chance to tie or win, and this defense comes up with a stop. So at some point, you really start to feel comfortable in those situations. So I think that, you know, it should bode well for them, because I'm sure they'll be in close games in the playoffs. But at the same time, like you said, you're one play away a lot of these times, and it very easily could go the other way.
one final question. I'll let you go. Thanks a lot for doing this, Dan. Appreciate it a lot. And that is, what do you see as the swing factors in the game one way or the other between the Giants and Green Bay on Sunday?
Like I said, talking about earlier, I think the key is going to be finding a way to get some pressure on Rodgers, because if you just let him sit back there, he'll probably pick you apart. But if you blitz him, he's probably going to have an easier time. So they need to find someone to step up, whether it's Olivier Vernon or whether it's one of these, you know, kind of no-name defensive ends filling in for JPP. I think they're going to need something there. And again, on the other side of the ball, I think it's going to be the run game, because I don't think, you know, this is a game, especially if it's going to be in the teens or even lower. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a game where Eli is going to air it out and have a huge game against that secondary unless they can get them going on the ground. So those would be my two biggest X factors.
Dan, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for your insights. Always appreciated by everybody, especially me.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Steve.
Dan Duggan, NJ.com, covers the New York Giants and the National Football League. Chris Soleri, Detroit Free Press, next half hour as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Chris Soleri, Detroit Free Press, coming up in the next half hour. I'm going to talk with Chris about the game Saturday at the Palestra, which he's really excited about. He's never covered a game at the Palestra. And for me, I've done a lot of games at the Palestra. It is one of the truly great signature basketball arenas in the country. And, you know, I think about it. I was just at what they referred to as America Stadium. And that, of course, is the Rose Bowl. And it is really special. And, of course, I just did a game at Madison Square Garden. So I feel like I've been seeing all these incredible venues at once. And in college basketball, it's quite simple. In college basketball, Fog Allen Fieldhouse, Cameron Indoor, Rupp Arena, Assembly Hall, you know, the Palestra's right there with any of them. And we'll talk to Chris Soleri about that in the next half hour and about the matchup with Penn State. Again, about Penn State last night, quite simple. Talent's there. You can see it. The effort's there. You can see that. The experience isn't there yet. Last night, that was one they had, should have won, and for whatever reason, still don't have the experience yet to close out a game like that on the road. It will happen. The problem is, I think that would have put them a month ahead of schedule if they had won it.
Actually, your name was brought up last night during the TV broadcast about the free throw shooting you've seen from the team so far.
I don't know what I told them. between Corey and Sean last night, I think I told them during shoot-around, it's the best free throw shooting team I've seen at Penn State.
Yep, that's what they said.
Okay, I think I said that.
Yep, that's what they said.
But I make up half the stuff anyway, so you know. Yeah. I can't even remember last night's dinner. What I'm going to remember 30 years ago now. It's because they're right around 80% right now. Well, Penn State as a team has never been an 80% team. They usually have had one or two guys maybe get to 80%. But now, you know, Stevens is over 80, Carr's over 80. Garner's right around 80. Banks is over 80. I mean, they are the best free throw shooting team I've seen at Penn State. They actually say my name, or did we say we talked to this idiot?
No, idiot was not brought up. Your name was brought up, but idiot did not pop up afterwards.
Okay.
No.
Just want to make sure, I mean, in what context it came up. I'm home now, so I'm used to hearing it. No, I'm just kidding.
25-hour break.
25 hours.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.